But I'm ready today to be back in the Gospel of Luke. We've been studying the Gospel of Luke for quite some time now. There's a great benefit that most Sunday mornings we're walking systematically, verse by verse, through a passage of Scripture. And what that does is it allows us to readily look at the Bible in the context it was intended to be looked at. Anybody can take a verse of Scripture and twist it and try to kind of make it say whatever they want it to say, but when you really look and you see that the context that it was written in, it really helps you to understand what is the message that God wants me to receive from His Word. Because it's His Word, not my Word, not your Word, but it's His Word. And so we want to understand what is the message that He is trying to convey. Today I want to preach to you and I want to share with you a message and ask you a question. How is your vision? How is your vision? I tell you stories about my papa quite frankly. Frequently, and I want to tell you one again today. When we were young, he would tell us stories about his time in the service. I believe he served in the Air Force. And at one point in time, he was stationed in a place in Greenland called Thule, Greenland. And one of the most fascinating things he told us about being stationed in Thule, Greenland was that there would typically be about 6 months of daylight and 6 months of darkness. Could you imagine living in a place where it would just briefly, if at all, you would see that the sun was trying to rise for 6 months. 6 months at a time, you would go in total darkness. Think about the way you'd have to adjust your living. You'd go to sleep and it was dark and you'd wake up and it'd still be dark. Kind of gets hard to keep up with what day it is. Or imagine being in 6 months of daylight. You go to sleep and it's daylight, you wake back up and it's still daylight outside. And yeah, you can tell that the day is trying to pass and there's a little bit of a rotation there, but it never quite gets dark or it never quite gets light outside. About 6 months, you know, it has this rotation because it's so far up towards the North Pole, I guess. I don't know. But could you imagine how strange that would be to what we're accustomed to here in Texas? I mean, we have, in the summertime here, we've got long days. You can see outside well before, you know, even before 6 a.m. right now, and you can see outside till after 9 right now. But still, that doesn't compare to light 24 hours. That would be so strange, and we'd have to make such a drastic change to the way we live, just experiencing total light or total darkness for that extended period of time. It definitely would take some adjusting, too. A lot of people work night shift, and they have to adjust. And the ones I really pity are the ones that work those rotating shifts, where they'll have to work night shift for a week, they'll be off for a few days, and then their day shift the next week. It's like, how do you do that? So hard making those adjustments when we get used to a pattern of light and of darkness. But light is so necessary for everything. We can't see anything if it isn't for light. That's just the fact of the matter. What we see, our eyes are designed to pick up light. We have good bright lights in here. They come on and, you know, if it was totally dark in here, we wouldn't see anything. I wonder, have you ever truly experienced total darkness? I have. I went caving one time with some friends, and when I went caving, we get really deep down into the cave. You're really far in there. You've walked and crawled and climbed through all these different caverns, and we got to this one location, and finally, the guide told us, okay, now everybody sit down. Let's get real close here so we know where everybody is. And one by one, we begin to turn the torch, the headlamp out. And it was amazing because we sat in total darkness. Now, when you go to sleep in your room at night, you might like it dark so you can sleep. But it's hard to achieve total darkness. I mean, it was so dark outside, he told us to put our hands right in front of our face. We couldn't even tell. You just had to know just by, you know, motor reflexes that your hand was literally, you could feel your breath coming back on you. You could see nothing. Total darkness. And then you know what he said? He said, okay, everybody take your hand. Be sure to take your hand and place it over where the lamp is, or the torch, your headlight there on your helmet. So we did. We put our hand over that, and he said, now everybody close your eyes. And with everybody with their eyes closed and with their hand over the torch, he said, now turn them on. And with our eyes closed and with our hand over the lamp, we could tell that we were no longer in total darkness. Because, you know, when you close your eyes, you can still tell there's light, right? It doesn't totally block it out. But we had to close our eyes because it would have damaged our eyes if we're all sitting there and just flip them on. Because to go from total darkness to being in a room well lit like that. It's too much. It's overwhelming. Today in our passage, Jesus begins to talk about light. And light is certainly the subject of the discussion. Light is definitely what he's using to get his point across. Let's look here in Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 33. This is what Jesus says. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its ray gives you light. What we see in here seems, just a cursory reading of it just like that, you begin to think, yeah, these things he's saying, they kind of make sense. But why are they important for the ones that he's telling them to? Why are they important for you and me today? Let's pray so that God will give us understanding of his word today. Lord, we give you this time. We want to be free of distraction. We want to have understanding. We know what the subject is, but God, we want to know how to apply it. So Lord, help us to evaluate where we are in life based on where you want us to be. And speak to us clearly, O God. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Now my goal for you today is to break this text down in a way that we can really take it and use it. We want this Word of God to have its effect on us and to make us into who God wants us to be. So first of all, let me tell you this, that light is a metaphor that Jesus is using for understanding. And not just understanding, but specifically the heart of what he's getting to is spiritual understanding. Jesus is using light as a metaphor for understanding. Now, when we first read through the passage and he moves from talking about this to a lamp to all that, it can be a little bit confusing. But we know for sure that the subject matter of this text is light. Definitely light. Now, the question that Jesus is asking has to do with light, but it also has to do with you and what you're doing with that light. Now, we may look and we see that he's talking about light and just in the same way that the examples of Thule Greenland, total darkness, total light, being in a cavern, total darkness, you know, talking about the lights in the room, talking about closing our eyes and we can still tell. Light is used nearly if not universally as a metaphor over and over again. You use it in everyday speech. You talk about light and you use it as a metaphor. We just sang about how Jesus takes us out of sin and out of darkness. So we use light as a metaphor all the time. There are some things in life that just make sense across culture, across history and time, that it's been for ages that light has been a representation of something and darkness a representation of something else. And it's so elementary, it's so easy to understand, and it lends itself to Jesus using it as an analogy as well. Biblical writers other than Jesus just speaking here, but Paul's led by the Holy Spirit to talk about darkness, and so are other writers in the Scriptures. There's so many different analogies that are used. You use it in everyday conversation. I'll give you an example. You say, well, I just couldn't get it. I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't get it. I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and then all of a sudden it was like a what went off? A light bulb went on or off, and it just, bing, there it is. I got it. You use light as a metaphor for understanding. You didn't even know you did that. I'll give you some more examples. Somebody sometimes gets upset because they're like, everybody knew about it but me. I felt like I was totally left in the what? In the dark. That's right. You use it as a metaphor for understanding. Jesus is doing the same thing. He's using it because God's Word, the Bible is a difficult book. It says that of itself. But Jesus, when he taught the people, he taught them and he wanted them to understand. If they'd listen and if they were willing to take to heart what he was saying, it was meant to be grasped. The New Testament's written in Koine Greek. That language, the marketplace, regular old conversational talk of that day and time. Why? Because the Word of God is meant for everyone to get it and everyone to understand. We sing a song, I saw the what? I saw the no more in. It's a metaphor, but it's biblical. Jesus uses it. And so we want to make sure that we understand that what Jesus is sharing in His Word here is that He's using light as a metaphor. Jesus didn't come so that we'd have light bulbs. You know, that's not the purpose. He's using it as a metaphor. What Jesus came to offer was truth, a better way, something for you to grasp and understand and to base your life on. He came to give you fullness of life. And He uses light as a metaphor to the ones that He's talking about. And we, even today, clearly can understand that Jesus is talking about something much bigger and much better than simply just light in a room. You know what light does? Light reveals what's hidden. Light exposes. You know what darkness does? Conceals. It hides. That's why thieves, when they come, they try to come in the daytime or the nighttime. Which one? That's right. That's why we associate evil and wrongdoing with darkness and cover of night. Secondly, today, Jesus also talks not just about light, but He also talks about the eye. In verse 34, He says, your eye is the lamp of your body. Now, the eye He uses as a lens for understanding, for spiritual understanding. And He's not talking about you live by faith and all this by your eye. No. He's still using a metaphor so that we can grasp the big picture today. We have been given light, and we need to be willing to receive it, okay? That's exactly what He's talking about. When He talks about your eye, He's referring to your spiritual vision, your spiritual understanding. That's what He's addressing here. And this is not the first time that Jesus begins to talk and say these things. This is not the only place in the New Testament where it's recorded. So here's what I believe happened. Jesus goes from town to town, and He's performing this miracle and that miracle. And, you know, just a couple weeks ago, we saw He was casting out demons. He's doing things that mere men cannot do. He's doing things that other people have never even seen happen or heard of before. He's doing these amazing feats. And yet all these different people are thinking, well, what do we do with this? Who is He? Where does He get His power? And some people are saying, oh, He gets His power from Satan. And other people are placing their faith in Him. There's this mass confusion. But He's saying that your eye is the lamp for the whole body. It just all matters on how you receive it. Does that make sense? You can have light but still have no vision. But you cannot have vision without light. You can have all the opportunity for spiritual understanding, but until you've experienced light, the truth, you have nothing to see, nothing to behold. That's the point that Jesus is trying to get across. And He's said this in different places. He says what He says in verse 33 of this chapter in Matthew chapter 5, verse 15. And the stuff that He says in verse 34, 35, and 36, He says in Matthew 6, 22 and 23. He teaches these things. He's going from one place to the other, and He's around these people, and He's consistently teaching them that light has come, light has come. And He's using the same metaphor. But here's the problem. He's using this analogy, and it's something they're familiar with, something we're familiar with. It's so simple. It's so easy. But here's the problem that Jesus has come up against. No matter how much light there is, a blind person still won't be able to see it. Their eyes don't work. And if your eyes don't work, it doesn't matter how much light is given to you, you still refuse to see it. There's a story that I've been told from a family in our church, a young guy in our church. When he was a young boy, he used to think he had magic powers or something, because he said that he could turn all the lights off in the room whenever he wanted to. And his family, kind of perplexed, they said, what are you talking about? He said, watch. The lights are on. They're off. And of course, his family chuckled and laughed, and I'm sure they explained to him gently that it was because he was just closing his eyes. We've got people today that are blind to the truth of who Jesus is because all they're doing is closing their metaphorical eyes. Spiritually, they don't even want to see who Jesus truly is. And I can prove to you that people like that exist because those are the kinds of people that Jesus was dealing with in that day and time when he shared that. So thirdly today, we see, and quite simply, that you are responsible for being willing to receive the truth. It doesn't matter how much light there is if you close your eyes to it. You have a responsibility to receive the message that God is giving about Jesus. You are responsible and you will stand account for what you do with the truth of God's Word. It's an amazing thing what Jesus says. In this translation in verse 35, he says, "Therefore be careful." Other translations say to, you know, watch out. But in the original, in the Greek, the term is skopeo. It's where we probably get the word scope from. He's saying, scope it out. Take a good look. Be careful. Be on guard. Watch out for the enemy. Watch out that you don't make this mistake. If then your whole body's full of light, or verse 35, therefore be careful lest the light in you be darkness. Here's what Jesus was dealing with in that day and time. Here are the people that are religious leaders and rulers. And they're in charge and they're supposed to be leading and guiding and teaching the people the truth of God's Word. And the reality is that most of them had memorized everything there was to know in the Old Testament. But when Jesus showed up on the scene, they did not want to recognize him as Messiah. And I choose those words carefully. They did not want to recognize him as Messiah. Many of them, I sincerely believe, knew that there was something special about Jesus, but they decided to close their eyes to the truth. So why is Jesus talking about light with them? Because some of them, if you remember from previous passage, are saying, show us another sign from heaven. And Jesus is in effect saying, it doesn't matter how much light I share with you, you've closed your eyes and you don't want to see clearly. He's saying that if your eye, if your spiritual lens is shut off or bad or morally corrupt, you will never correctly interpret and see the light that's already been given. Here's the other thing. There are so many people in the Bible that we read about that when they were presented with just a tiny little bit of evidence or light or whatever, they immediately were ready to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, how could they see so clearly and fall into faith that well? Why? Because their eye was good, their spiritual eye. They were ready to receive. And here's the truth that I'm telling you today. You have a responsibility to be in search of truth. And when you find the truth, to receive it. You might be here today, but at least you know somebody that's this way. That no matter how much you show them in the Bible, what it teaches about Jesus, they say, well, or, you know, and then they try to criticize or they try to find a way. There's more than enough light for people to know who Jesus is. And that's why we need to go and share it and leave the results in God's hand. They're either going to receive it or they're not. Jesus is plainly telling them, you need to be careful that you don't end up thinking that you've got the truth when all you're filled with is, instead of light, darkness. I think that cut them deep. I think they probably were a little bit offended, but the truth can be offensive. Sometimes we need a good, healthy dose of medicine that doesn't taste good. But that's what we need to be well, to be right, to receive the light. Jesus is telling them this, and I know that it makes them uncomfortable because he's literally told them, because they're pretending like they have deep spiritual understanding. They're pretending as if they're the religious elite and they're enlightened beyond anyone else's capabilities. But these Pharisees and the ones that Jesus is teaching here, they're not the only ones that have thought that way. There are people from Eastern religions. There are people that will try to tell you that there's a better way or that they've, you know, well, I used to believe in God, but now I know better. That's all just a fairy tale, blah, blah, blah. People say that, and you know somebody that says that. I know you do. They think they're filled with light, but Jesus would say, what you're filled with is darkness. Your eyes aren't working. You have become blind to the truth. What did Jesus say of himself? He said, I am the way, the what? The truth, the life. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus goes on to tell him, if your whole body's full of light, having no part dark, that's the thing. There are absolutes that Jesus is dealing with here. You don't partially receive Jesus Christ. When He fills you with light, He fills you completely. You have a responsibility to receive the truth and to fully receive the truth. Jesus is giving them a warning here, telling them to be careful, scope it out, watch out, so that you don't willfully become blind. Maybe at times in your life, you've been blind to the truth because you just didn't want to deal with a reality, or you thought if you ignore it long enough, it'll go away. It never works that way. You have to face things. Come to terms with them. Coming to terms with the reality of who Jesus is today looks like this. You repent and place your faith and trust in Him. Anything short of that, you've not received the truth. You've not decided to receive the light. If you want to truly be filled with light, then that's what you have to do. You have to allow the truth to set in. You have to receive it and let it have its full effect. Let me tell you what its full effect is. Fourthly and finally today, receiving the truth will change you, fill you, and cause you to share with others. I've chosen those terms for the final point pretty carefully today because according to the metaphor that Jesus is using, He's saying that you'll no longer be full of darkness, but you'll be full of light. That's a change. That's definitely a change. And not only does He say that you'll have light in you, but He seems to put emphasis on being filled with light. Completely filled. I want to make a special note there. Yes, every day that we live as a Christian, we ought to walk in a deeper and deeper fellowship. We ought to want to know more of Him and more of His Word. But here's the thing. When Christ comes into your life, He completely fills the void. There's no extra measure of the Holy Spirit that you need to attain. We're talking about growing in our yieldedness, receiving the light that's been given to us more and more every day. God's going to be the one that changes us when we receive Him. A lot of people think, well, I have to change and then I can be a Christian. No, you become a Christian because God is the one that changes you. He promises to fill you with light, to be filled. He calls us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. The Bible uses this metaphor, this terminology, over and over and over again. And when God fills us with light, here's what He wants to have happen. He wants to change out inventory of our hearts. Remember, I told you that light reveals and darkness will hide or conceal. And so when God uses the light, the truth, to expose our sin and our wickedness, He begins to take inventory and clean us up. He changes us. And we're completely filled with light. All of our sin lays bare before a holy God. And we repent. What does repent mean? It means turn away. Change our mind. Go a different direction. And then finally, being filled with that light instead of being filled with darkness causes us to want to share that light with others. That's why He says in verse 36, your whole body's full of light, having no part dark. It will be wholly or completely bright as when a lamp with its ray gives you light. That's why He also talks about back in verse 33, no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. so that those who enter may see the light. It's all about seeing the light. That's why the question today is, how's your vision? We've got plenty of light. God has revealed Himself. No person has any excuse not to believe in God. Let me read to you one of the Psalms. Psalm 19 says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There's no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom, leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there's nothing hidden from its heat." Why read that? Because that reminds us that every person has received what's called general revelation. There's no way a person can live on the earth and not experience all of creation and know that there's a higher power. Everybody. But there are some people whose eyes are turned off to it. They don't want to see it. Because if they see the truth of who God is, that means that they no longer get to be Lord of their own life. They no longer get to set the rules. They no longer get to do what they think's best for them. If they receive the light, they have to trust that God knows what's best. They have to trust that His ways and His understanding's higher. They have to repent and turn away from darkness and live in the light. We have a responsibility to share the light that we've received with others. Jesus said that nobody, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar. Let me extend the metaphor out to you. When you've received the light, God did not save you to conceal you. There's no such thing as a closet Christian. When God saves you and fills you with light, He wants you to be a reflection of Him before all that you come in touch with. And He wants people to know that there's light in you, that there's truth in you. So let me ask you the question again. How's your vision today? Do you have a clear picture of who Jesus is? Have you been willing to accept the truth of who He is? Is your vision 2020 today? You got it all lined up. I can tell how your vision is based on what your view of Jesus is. If you think that Jesus is anything other than the very Son of God who came to live and die for your sins, for my sins, for all the world, for every person that would believe, if you think anything different than that, then your vision's not too good. Spiritually, you're blind to the truth. So here's what I want you to do, if that's you today. I want you to open your eyes. I want you to open your eyes and truly be open to receiving who Christ is, that He might fill you with light so that you too can share that truth with others. The people in Jesus' day and time, they didn't want it. Jesus came and He offered it, but they didn't want to receive it. They were against it. Their hearts were hardened. So they could not see the truth, though it was right in front of them. They were in darkness, but claimed to be filled with light. We've got a lot of people in our world today that claim to be in the light, when in reality they're suffering the same condition that Jesus prescribed there. They need to be careful. They need to watch out that they're not filled with darkness and only think they're filled with light. So here's what I want to ask you to do. Open your eyes to the truth of God's Word today. Be willing to receive Him and all that He has to offer. You'll be able to see that, you know what? I can't work out my salvation on my own. I have to trust in Christ, in Christ alone. I want you to be a beacon of light to all those that are around you, because your friends and your family think they're walking in the light. They think spiritually everything's great in their life. But so many of them are actually filled with darkness, and they have a desperate need they've refused to acknowledge. So what do we do, Brother Adam? I'm going to tell you to go and preach to them in love, to share the truth, They may or may not acknowledge it, but that's between them and God. Your responsibility is not to be hidden in the cellar. Your responsibility is not to be hidden in the basement, tucked away. Your responsibility is to light up the room with the gospel of Jesus Christ every time you walk in it. Let's go out there and let's be a guiding light to a lost and dying world in desperate need. We think we need a vaccine. Guys, we just need to get the gospel out. There's something way more serious than a virus. It's sin sickness. It's darkness. And God has given us the remedy. Let's be champions for the cause of Christ. And all God's people said, let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given us light. But Lord, with that light comes a responsibility to receive it, to be filled with it, and to go and share it. And God, if today we have turned our eyes away and we've decided not to look upon the truth of who you are, Lord, may today be the day that we repent of that, that we come to faith in you. And Father, if we failed to allow the light to fill every aspect of our life, may we realize that we're pushing you away and that it's sinful. May we repent of that, that Lord, every corner of our life might be fully yielded to you. Lord, my final request this morning is that simply we would be a reflection of who you are, that Lord, we would show others the truth that's been given to us. God, that we would be so grateful for having been saved that we would gladly serve your great name. Lord, challenge us even now as we pray. Press upon our hearts the names of two or three family members or friends that we have, O God, that need to hear the truth. And Lord, let us be diligent in seeking out the opportunities, the doors that you open for us to share that light with them. You and you alone can affect change. You and you alone can fill. You and you alone can satisfy. So God, we have no other message, no other banner, no other king. You and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.